Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith, pastor here at Grace Community Church. Welcome. Thank you for coming today. Glad to see everyone here and for a great time of worship where we get to lift our arms up to God, praise Him, thank Him for who He is, but also to realize our whole goal in this world is to have a relationship with God and to bring Him glory in all things. Like, it's all about Him, right? And it's our relationship with Him. And obviously, He puts enough value in us that the creator of everything says, I want that relationship with you. So it's a beautiful thing to lift up our arms to God, to praise Him, to sing to Him, to glorify Him in all things, with our words, with our bodies, with our voice, with our actions. So love coming together, having this time where we're a community of worshiping God, brothers and sisters in Christ. So glad you are here today. If you are new here, we are in a sermon series right now called A New Heart. And this sermon series is talking about the book of Ezekiel. And if you haven't read the book of Ezekiel, I would encourage you to do so, and you'll realize for the first part of it, it's not a very fun book to read. It's a lot of the world is falling apart, everything is going bad, this is not a fun place to be, and my name is God, and I'm going to allow it to happen because you chose it. It's a tough book in the beginning. In fact, the first 32 chapters of Ezekiel are pretty much God saying, this is why you're here. This is why you're in captivity. This is why the people of Israel have been taken captive, have been beat by other nations. Here's why you've lost your land. Here's why Jerusalem has been burned. Here's why it's all gone away. Why? Because you turned from me. Because you left me and turned from me and went your own way and worshipped false gods and turned your back on me, so I removed my blessing from you, and here's what it looks like. And so the first 32 chapters aren't fun. They're not fun at all. It's really God pointing out Israel's rebellion and idolatry to the world and saying, here's what you've done. You've rebelled against me. You've put things before me. I'm going to let you go down this path, and here's where it's leading. And so it's Him, God, talking through Ezekiel, giving him visions to give to the people. And shortly after this, when you get into chapters 33 and 34, you see a switch. And we talked about this last week, of this idea with captives with hope. That these people who are captives, who are in this nation, who have been taken away, who are in Babylon, who have lost everything, he says, look, you've turned from me, you've turned your back on me, this is what you get when you do this, this is the punishment for it, if I let you enjoy what you've wanted, and it's not a fun place to be, but you haven't turned to me, your leaders haven't pointed you back to me, so guess what, I'm going to come after you. And this is the turning point for the nation of Israel in this captivity, is understanding God saying, you aren't doing it, so I'll do it for you. Does that story sound familiar to us? Right? Even when we talk about Jesus Christ and Him coming back, Him going, guess what? You guys just don't get it. You can't do it. I've shown you what righteousness is. You're full of sin. You won't come to me, but guess what? I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you because you won't do it. And so last week we talked about that God will lift them up, this idea of captives with hope. And so today we're going to the next step forward that we see happening. And it's this idea of a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening in people's lives. And this is God saying, now I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to take care of you. And so he's giving Ezekiel these prophecies and saying, I want you to see what's going to happen. I want you to know what's going to happen. People have turned away, so I'm going to pull them back. I'm going to go get them and collect them. I'm going to bring them back into the fold. I'm going to show you that I am God. And so this idea that we can have spiritual awakening in our lives. And the way that Ezekiel has shown that a spiritual awakening is through a vision. That God once again gives Ezekiel a vision. And this vision is actually a pretty powerful one. And it's one that might be well known to some people, not to others. But we sing about it in certain songs. We have songs written about it. We have different things. It's this idea of a valley of dry bones. This valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel is given a vision. And he's taken away. And he's brought to this valley where it's just scattered and littered with bones. And it's like a great battle had taken place there. And everyone has been crushed, and they're sitting there just the bones. So you know it's been a while. It's not like it was a fresh battle. It happened a while ago, and they've been sitting in the sun, and they're dead. And so God gives Ezekiel this vision and brings away, and this is what he says. Then the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. So Ezekiel is taken in this vision, brought to this valley of dry bones, these bones that were completely dried out, and God says, can these bones become living people again? And Ezekiel, remember, he's been doing this with God for quite a while. He's seen visions of God. He's been talking to God. God has shown him things that are coming to pass. And his just wisdom goes, God, you alone know the answer to that. I know if I was there and I came up and God showed me this valley of dry bones, just sitting there out there and said, can these people raise again? I'd be like, well, I'm no scientist, but no. Right? Like, God, I know you can do anything, but they're kind of dead. Not like, oh, a couple days, like, oh, you were dead for 2 minutes. Like, no, these are dead people. I don't know if that's possible. I love that Ezekiel, because he'd had these experiences with God, goes, God, you alone know. You know if they can again. I don't know if I'd give that same answer. I'd probably be like, nope, because they're dead. But Ezekiel sees this, and he sees what God has shown him. He answers, God, you alone know. Remember, these bones they've seen right now, they're old. They're completely dried out, is what it says. It's this idea that they've been sitting and baking in the sun, and they're so dried out, there's no marrow left in them. They're just shells of what people used to be. And interestingly, this vision that God is giving him is not to be taken as a literal valley of bones. This vision that's given to Ezekiel, as God comes to show him later, is to show him this valley of bones is really our lives without God. Our lives without God is like we're a valley of dry bones. The nation of Israel without God is like a valley of dry bones. The people have been just, they've been crushed, and they've been dried out, and they've been sitting there without any life in them whatsoever. This is the vision that God shows to Ezekiel, saying, here's what it is without me. Here's what life is without me. It's dried out. It has nothing. There's no life left in it. And I've been in those places myself, I think, where I feel like I've kind of turned from God and went, I want to do my own thing. I'm not a spring chick anymore. You know, I'm 40 years old, so for those of you who don't know my father-in-law, who we call the old man, and he loves it. Amen. There you go. I've been in places where I've turned from God, where I did what I wanted to do. I can tell you what it feels like when your bones start to dry out, when you feel like God's not there. When you feel like a husk of a person going, I feel like I've just turned from him. God was still there, but I wasn't seeking him. I didn't want him in my life because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, not what God wanted for me. And so those moments where we have, where we're like dry bones, where we've just been separated from God, where we've pulled away from him, where we've turned away from him, is this place where we feel like dry bones. And the whole nation of Israel was in this place. They had turned from God. They had left his protection. They had been crushed, and they were sitting there all on their own. Not because God wasn't still after them. He was still telling them, do you recognize? This is why. But they continued to do their own thing. And so, as this vision is taking place, God continues to talk to Ezekiel. And he says, look, I want you to continue to prophesy. I've told you to prophesy. I've told you to bring my words to the people. Prophesy to these bones right here. And continuing chapter 37, verses 4 through 6, it says, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This saying right here is a powerful one. Then you will know that I am the Lord. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you see this saying throughout the entire book. God over and over talks to Ezekiel. And he says, do this, tell them this, and then they will know that I'm the Lord. Now, interestingly, sometimes that's used in a really tough way of going, the people will fall and they've turned from me and they're going to be crushed under other people and they're going to lose my blessing because they've turned away from me and they're worshiping their gods and they will know that I am the Lord. Because guess what? When you've turned from God and you recognize what life is without him, you go, oh my gosh, I need God. I need him. I need to lean on his strength. I am weak, I am full of sin, and I will continue to turn. I need God, and I will know. You sit there and go, they will know that I am the Lord. You sit there and go, I know you're God when I'm going through those times. But here, he's now turning and saying, I'm going to put new life into you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to do it because you're not. And guess what? Then you will know that I am the Lord. See, either way we go here with this, either way we look at this, we recognize that if we turn from God, if we go away from him, if we're in this place like Ezekiel and like the Israelites were, and go, I'm without God, I've turned from him, you'll know that he's the Lord when those things happen. But at the same time, when he comes after you and rescues you and keeps tugging at your heart and says, come back into the fold, you are mine and I am yours, you are my people and I am your God, then you will know. God uses this in both cases, and both cases are completely true. In our lives, we may sit and go, I'm just cruising along. Just kind of living life. I feel like I'm in the rat race. I feel like it's just do this, get through the motions. Those moments where you recognize that God is God is usually when you go one way or the other to the extreme. When you turn from God, or you get really close from God. Then you go, now I know that he's the Lord. Now I know that he is God. Sometimes in those middle in-between moments where you sit there and go, just kind of living life, things are going okay. We forget what it's like to have God right in the middle of it. But when it's one way or the other, it's real easy to go, we'll know that he is God. We'll know that he is the Lord. And God uses this phrase throughout the beginning of Ezekiel, throughout the whole book of Ezekiel. For good or bad, when a blessing is removed, or blessings restored. But he tells Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to these bones and tell them to come to life again. So Ezekiel does exactly what God says. He says, so I spoke this message just as he had told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all around the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Think of what Ezekiel was seeing. He's seeing that valley of dry bones. And then God says, speak to them, prophesy to them to come back to life. And he does that. And all of a sudden, the bones start reattaching to each other. Flesh, you have muscles that start coming over the bones, attaching them, ligaments. Organs start to come together. The skin starts to form around them. And suddenly, where there was just bones in this valley before, there's a whole people here that are totally remade. They're remade and they're renewed. But the interesting thing is, even though they're restored in body, even though they're made new from bones, it says they still have no breath in them. This word right here, breath, is a very important word for us to understand. It doesn't mean they just weren't breathing. They still had no breath in them. The word for breath here is ruach. Never like how that works. Whenever you put Hebrew in a PowerPoint, it doesn't like to go with English, just so you know. I always fix it for second service, though. But ruach. Ruach, this word ruach means breath, wind, or spirit. And when it's saying there's no breath in their bodies, what God is saying is they're not really alive yet. They have a body, but they have no life. They've been restored physically, but they're not really alive yet. It takes God's breath, His Spirit, to make you alive. We can see this if we look at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, 1 through 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." That word, Spirit of God, is the exact same word here used for breath. You may hear me talk or pray about going, "God, our very breath is owed to you." It's not just the fact that I can breathe. I'm dead without God inside me. I'm nothing without His breath. And I'm not just speaking metaphorically. I'm not just saying, well, you know, metaphorically, if you do that, you know, you have God's life in you, you're not really alive. No, I do mean metaphorically. Without God, we're dead. We're spiritually dead. We have no life. If we don't have a life in God, it doesn't end well for us, and our life on this earth isn't complete either. But I'm talking actually literally right now. Without God's Spirit in us, without His breath in our body, without Him giving us life, we don't have it. And that's what Ezekiel's seeing here, is God has raised back up these people. He's brought them together. He's reformed them. Yet they're still not alive because it takes His breath going into them. It takes His Spirit being in them for them to be alive, for them to know what's happening. And so as Ezekiel says this and God's talking to him, God continues to tell Ezekiel what to do. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath. Come, O Spirit. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. So I spoke the messages He commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army." Now, I've never had a vision like this. I've had a vision one time in my life that I would call a vision directly from God. It was while I was on a mission trip in Haiti, and there's people in this room who were in that circle with me praying, and we all had the exact same vision. And it was, I will tell you, a wild moment in my life, because I sat there and went, my vision was red. Pretty deep, huh? Red. That was my vision. My sight turned red. That was all I could see was red. And I thought, boy, the sun is bright. That must be what it is. Because I had my eyes closed, it kept getting redder and redder. I'm like, this Haitian sun is ridiculous. Until we opened our eyes, we all talked. And we all saw red. And we walked down this road. And in all the pallor and all the disuse, and things falling apart in Haiti, there was a wall with this bright red door staring at us. And we stopped at it and looked, and as we're standing there looking at the door going, that's what I saw, that red. Someone came out sweeping, and she looked at us, and we started talking to her, and she'd just been praying, "God, if you're real and you want me to come back to you, show me a sign." And we were standing outside her door to pray with her and talk to her about Jesus. That was a vision that I was a part of with a group of people, and it blew my mind away. Now, I want you to picture what Ezekiel's seeing. Ezekiel didn't see a color. He didn't see something like that. He saw an army that was bones raising up with flesh and muscles growing back on them, breath from the winds poured into them from the Spirit of God, and they became a mighty army again. If that was my vision, I would probably freak out. I would not be just so like, wow, that was red. I'd be like, you know, I mean, it would be a vision. I don't know if I could handle that. The fact that Ezekiel's seeing this and isn't just on his face in tears and freaking out before God is amazing. The relationship he had with God. But God gives him this vision. And this vision to show that the entire army is raised back up. And not only are their bodies rebuilt, they have life poured back into them. They have the Spirit of God living in them once again. They are renewed and restored and have new life. And Ezekiel gets to see this happening. And God continues to talk to him. And he explains this vision to him. He says, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They're saying we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, oh, my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken.'" See, Ezekiel was to give this vision and this message to the people of Israel and say, "Look, you've been in captivity, you're old, dry bones, your bodies are tired, your souls are aching, you've turned from God, and this is what happens when you turn from God, but God loves you. And he's going to restore you. And since you're not coming after him, he's coming after you. And he wants to give you new life and to raise you back up, to take you from exile, create a great nation, breathe life into you." Now this story, as we're reading it, we sit there and go, okay, that was great for the nation of Israel. It was great for Ezekiel. It was great for these visions. It was great that they knew then that someday they would not be captives again. Someday they would have new life in Christ or in God. But remember, this didn't happen overnight. It took a long time for them still in captivity. It took a long time to bring about that renewal. And during this time, we see them in this place, in this difficult place. But we see God continue to work in them and say, "I'm going to gather you back to me." Now, can you see parallels from this story to our lives right now in Christ? I can see parallels everywhere. Because I sit there and go, this is exactly who we are. God set up the Ten Commandments. He set up the law and he said, this is what righteousness is. And I know you're going to fail because you have sin. So I'm going to create a way that even though you're not righteous, I'm going to continue to work in you. I'm going to give you options for sacrifice so you can be made whole. And then he said, now I'm going to provide the ultimate sacrifice, myself, so that you can be restored to me. Because you weren't coming after me, I'm coming after you. I'm going to do the work. I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm going to give you a way to be alive again, to have new bodies, new hearts, new breath in your lungs. And it's going to come through me. In fact, if we look in the New Testament, we see this everywhere, this idea of the Spirit being poured in and new life made again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. In Romans 5:18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for all, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. And in 2 Corinthians 3:6, he has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. These are amazing words. This is amazing stuff that God is saying, look, nation of Israel, you're in this place because you turned from me, but I'm going to seek you. I'm going to restore you. I will give you my breath, my life, the Spirit in you, so you can be alive again. But he says the same thing to us. A life in Christ. A life with Christ and God at the center of us. We are not made of that old body anymore. We're not those dry bones. He's given us a new spirit, new life, He's given us life so that we can be in Him. It's a new covenant we have. It's a beautiful one. And Ezekiel was talking to the people of Israel. God's prophesying to him, and Ezekiel's saying, look, God's going to raise you back up. God's going to give you a spiritual awakening. He's going to pour His Spirit into you. And that message for Israel is the same message for us today, that there is hope for new life. You may be sitting here going, I continue to get stuck in my sin. I continue to get stuck in these things that pull me down. I continue to get stuck with drug abuse or alcohol abuse or pornography or a bad relationship with my spouse or my kids or other people. I have anger issues. I have all this stuff and it's always on me and it's eating me up. I'm dying inside. I feel like dry bones in my soul. God says, well, guess what? There is hope for new life in me. I can take those old bones. And I can breathe my spirit into it. I can make you new again. There is hope for new life in Christ. God gave hope and a new life to the nation of Israel. And He does the exact same thing for us through Christ Jesus. There is hope for new life. There is hope for awakening. You may sit there and go, I've accepted Christ in my life. I have Him in my life. I love God, but I still fail and I hate it. Guess what? There's a chance for awakening. There's hope for it. That God will raise you back up, will pour new life into those bones, will awaken you so that you turn to Him and go, I want a life in you, and anything apart from you, God, I want to run from it. I want to run from it. I want a complete life in you, God. I want that hope for awakening. There's hope for restoration. A new life, an awakening, a restoration for us with God, and guess what? For us with each other. When God pours His Spirit into us, recognize when you get that new life in you, you're no longer living with just yourself. You have God, the Creator, the Enabler, the person who pours breath into you, living inside of you, speaking to you. It's a chance for us to restore relationships with God, for us to restore relationships with each other. I know I feel like sometimes I harp on this, but everything God talks about in the Bible is about two things, a relationship with Him and then a relationship with each other. That's what all the laws were based on, our love for God and our love for each other. That's what everything Christ did was for our love with God and our love with each other. Everything in the Bible is about that relationship. God Himself is about a relationship, even internally within Himself. With God in our life, a relational being, there's hope for restoration with each other. There's hope for restoration with God. There's hope because He provides it. It's nothing that we do that go, well, if we work hard enough, we can make it happen. He's given it to us. It's right there inside of us. We just have to accept it. We have to grab hold of it and say, thank you, God. This new life you've breathed into me is now you in me. And I want it to be all of me. So there's hope for new life. There's hope for awakening. There's hope for restoration. And the truth is, there's hope in God. There's hope in Jesus Christ. If you hold on to a life with God, if you sit there and go, this is the life I want, I want a life. I want a life where God's at the center of it. Where I'm not living for me. Where I'm not living for what Kelly wants. I'm not living for what Tim wants. I'm not living for what Ray wants. I'm not living for what Nancy wants. I'm living for what God wants for me. I want to live with a path and the life that God has set up for me. There is hope where we can take some of these dry bones and God can pour new life into them. So we become a great army. An army for Him. Not an army of soldiers, but an army followers, following Christ, loving others, showing that relationship to others, an army for God, an army of love. I know that sounds like a hippie thing, but come on. A great army of love, where we're just loving our people around us, where we're loving our communities, we're caring for others, we're caring for each other, the Spirit of God within us, there is hope in God. It was the same hope that he showed to the nation of Israel. It was the same hope that he said, I'm coming after you, and I'll do this because you can't, or you won't. It's the same life he gives us. We have hope in God, because God has placed himself within us. Let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we could be here today. Thank you that we could have this community where we could try and build relationships, God, where we could try and come closer to you, where we could glorify you with our bodies and with our lips and with our hearts, God, and all we do. But Lord, I hope we recognize that that is not because we are doing awesome things. It's because you have done awesome things in us. It's because you have poured new life into us. You have awakened our hearts, God. You have restored our souls. God, we have hope in you. And Lord, this is a hope you've given to the entire world. You've given to each one of us, but you've given to everyone. All we have to do is call on your name. Grab hold of you and say, thank you, God. Thank you for this gift you've given. All we have to do is accept that breath that you're pouring into us. Where it takes us from these broken places, God, to a restored being. A restored creature with you at the center of it. What I'm sure, there's people today here that are hurting, that may be struggling with addiction, that may be struggling with relationships. God, we all have struggles in our life. Lord, I pray right now, soften our hearts, God. Let us not be dry, brittle bones sitting on the in the desert, being baked by the sun. God, let your life flow into us. Let your Spirit renew us. Give us new life in you, God. You've promised it. You've already given it. Lord, let us accept it. Let us hold on to that hope and that promise that you've provided, God. Lord, I pray you would speak into people's hearts right now. If they want you there, God, and want a renewing of their spirit, an awakening of their soul, a new life in you, God, I pray right now they would just speak these words, God, forgive me for my sin. God, breathe new life into me. Through the love of Jesus Christ, poured out his life for ours. Awaken us, God. Let us follow you with everything inside us. Let us be your army, God, in this world. Let us be an army of love, an army of compassion, an army of grace, army of mercy. Lord, breathe new life into me. Renew my spirit. We pray these things in